afternoon. Today is Thursday, July the 25th, 205th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, old friend, now back to being a regular, right?
Yep.
All right, Matt Harvey. Hey, guy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You probably, if you've been around any time at all, remember him as a past community commenter, but now he got shifted up out of beautiful, scenic, warm southern Humboldt into the swamp in Arcata.
That's right.
So he's now a swamp rat.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep lobbing that stuff out until Yeager decides he's got to show up and defend himself.
Yeah, yeah. I'll no comment on that one.
Yeah. few do. This afternoon, we got a bunch of different things that are coming up. We've got the county fair, obviously, in a couple of weeks. We've got Reggae on the River in a couple of weeks. We've got Autorama this week. I know it's not called Autorama. I forget what it's called, though.
Fortuna Auto Expo.
Auto Expo. Right, okay, I better write down Expo. Otherwise, I'll screw it up again and have everybody calling.
Yeah.
some special events. We'll talk about what some of those impacts are, as well as, well, what you may be accustomed to looking out for may not be what you need to be looking out for. We'll leave it there. Tease you, and we'll be back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey, the Public Information Officer for the California Highway Patrol. May as well get you the title one time. Huh?
There you go. Appreciate
All
that.
All right. Our quote this afternoon comes from Irma Bombeck's father.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been in one of her books when she was writing. Quote, never accept a drink from a urologist.
That's a wise advice.
Sage advice, huh?
Yes, I will take that to heart.
So, you like the new digs yet?
I do. It's great. It's for me, it's a new office. I grew up in the area. You know,
didn't hang out there.
No, I did not hang out there. Definitely not. I lived near there at one point in time, but so it's coming home for me. You know, which is great. Worked in Garberville, as you know, for 3 years and. Quite a commute, you know, an hour twice a day. So being closer to home is really nice.
I would think it's got to be saying something for as many of the folks who grew up in the area, who are working in the office in the area.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that something that the state is trying to promote, or is it just happened to be one of those times when it just happens to go that way?
I think the benefit to our area for having guys who grew up in the area like me is I plan on staying here for a while. You know, it's nice to have officers that have been in the area, know the area, they know the community. We live in a rural area, and so for an officer to come here, say from like the Bay Area, and try to learn the area, it takes a while. And it takes a while to know different parts. You know, if you've grown up in Humboldt County for any amount of time, you know there's pretty big differences between Eureka, Arcata, and McKinleyville, and going further north, further south. And there's just certain things that it takes a while to really understand. You know, living here, having grown up here, I know some of those sayings. And so I think for those of us that have grown up here and able to come back and work, it's a benefit to the area because we understand some of those things.
Isn't it an advantage for... I mean, it sounds like it's an advantage for the officers. Is it an advantage also for the office staff? I mean, are they able then to make references to things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's things that areas that we might call something that isn't super well known, you know, different locations, maybe cross streets.
Well, like Three Corners.
Exactly, yeah. So if, say, a call comes out over the radio at Three Corners, I know where that's at, but somebody who just transferred from L.A. is going to have no clue.
There are lots of Three Corners around here. Which one are you guys talking about?
In Southern Humboldt, we got a Four Corners, you know, and so it takes a while to learn what that means. And where their cross streets are. So yeah, absolutely. I think it's a win-win for both, for everybody, really, for office staff, for the community, and the officer.
So when there is that opportunity, is it up to the officer to try to come home, or is it up to the local command to try to draft?
There's a little bit of both going on, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some recruiting going on, I guess you could call it. If especially say if the commander has somebody particular in mind, or the command, or even another officer. I mean, there's definitely that kind of recruiting thing going on where, hey, why don't you come work up in Humble? You're from this area. We'd love to have
peer
you.
Peer pressure.
Up. Yeah. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Peer pressure.
You guys don't get drafted, per se.
No, there's not. No. It's not like the military where you just get assigned to an area. That does happen straight out of the academy, with a few exceptions. Basically, what it comes down to is they assign you an area. There's a whole criteria to that. But once you get out of the academy, you put in your first year at your first office, and then it's just a matter of seniority as to where you go throughout the state. And the CHP doesn't say, you're going to go to LA or you're going to go to Arcata or anything like that. Basically, you put in your transfer and wait until you have enough seniority, and then they transfer you to that area.
It's not a matter of being selected at all. It's just a matter of
it's all seniority.
Somebody's more experienced than you are.
Yeah, not even experience. It's all pretty much all seniority. There's a few exceptions to that. So if I'm certified bilingual, which I'm not by any means, but if I was certified bilingual, there's certain areas where you can sidestep the whole seniority routes.
Kind of like a fast track.
Fast track, because they need that. If they need that. And so there's certain things like that that can get you to areas that are more senior offices. But, generally for most of us, it's a seniority move.
Does the CHP prefer that, to have their folks stay in one area, or would they rather see better for Harvey to stay career in Arcata, retire in Arcata, or to bounce you around to different locations to get you different experiences?
I would say probably it would be nice to have an officer come for a while, but one thing that can happen is you get somebody who's in an area for their whole career, and it can work out really well. But sometimes officers, just like in any other career, you might get a little stagnant in one area, and you need a fresh approach.
So stagnant is why Hal is leaving. Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between, such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The commercial exhibits building will feature fascinating products, and of course there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Matt, some of the different challenges that are around, particularly if you are a local, you got the kids you went through school with. Okay,
sure.
Fine. But I would imagine most of them see the badge first, the car second, the gun third, and then the face.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's officer.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah, I actually had that happen to me not too long ago. I was working graveyards and made a traffic stop, and neither of us really realized who it was until we started talking for a few minutes, and then we finally made eye contact and realized that we knew each other from high school. But it's definitely an element of a smaller community. When I was working in Garberville, it wasn't so much of a factor because I didn't grow up in that area. get a lot of commuters. But, you know, now that I'm working back in Arcata, I went to Eureka High, and definitely know plenty of people in the community. And so it's certainly an element for those of us who've grown up in the area that we're going to be making more traffic stops on people we know.
Well, and I guess there would be more understanding also where the places are,
mm-hmm.
what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, if somebody is lost.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's more knowledge, I guess.
Which, yeah, absolutely.
Would help everybody out, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What about with the partnerships like with EPD and Arcata and the campus cops and the sheriffs? Hmm. Does that kind of help everybody go together in the same way when you see the big picture and you're part of that big picture?
I think so. I mean, I think what the CHP is thought of as a state agency, which we are, and it can seem kind of overwhelming at times. I worked in LA for a while, and there was a lot less crossover between CHP and local allied agencies. Here, there's a lot more working relationship for a few reasons. One, because there's less of us. We're less saturated in law enforcement than we are in a bigger community like LA. And so we have to rely on each other. You know, and another part of that dynamic is that many of us have grown up locally. But getting back to the, you know, the CHP is a state agency, but it feels a lot more localized here than it does in some of the bigger cities because of the dynamic that we have with the local agencies.
Well, when you know the people, when you know the players.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
we get to know other law enforcement, which is nice. You know, especially if you work on the same side of the shift and things like that, we get very familiar with who's working that night, and it's helpful. It's helpful for all of us. So.
One of the things that has changed, though, is the whole concept with cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I think either people perceive it's not a problem.
Right.
Or they're so frustrated because they see so many using it.
Yeah.
Any traction in the enforcement of that?
Well, let me say this first. When I'm not working or just talking with friends and family and community members, very few people, I don't think, I have yet to talk to somebody who just says they don't like that law. Most people say, I can't believe that people talk on their cell phones and, you know, it very much should be a law. With that said,
They're still talking to Officer Mack.
Yeah. They're still talking. And yeah.
In that scenario, you know what they're driving, right. What they look like, and where they live.
And I'm taking notes as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I just did a survey a few days ago, went out in an unmarked car, and I was on northbound 101 right there at the KOA between Eureka and Arcata in this speed corridor. And out of 100 cars, seven of them were talking on their cell phones that I could absolutely see. Probably a few more that I couldn't see quite. But, you know, so we're talking, you know, in that corridor, it was evening commute time and roughly 10%. I mean, that's huge. That, in my opinion, from what I've seen working the road, that's almost equivalent to 10% of people driving under the influence. And the reason I say that is I've made many stops on cars that are heavily weaving, very similar types of driving that a person under the influence would be doing. Pull them over, they're completely sober, come to find out they're talking on their cell phone. And so that's how seriously we take it. I just read a recent survey that said 26% roughly of traffic collisions were related to distracted driving. It's a really a hard number to pinpoint because a lot of people, when we talk to them about traffic collisions, hey, were you talking on your cell phone? And they're not gonna incriminate themselves. But you know, so it's a really hard number to pinpoint. But you know, one survey said nationwide 26%. So I'm sure there's different numbers depending on the area, but
probably not. Well, okay, you might have a little bit less in San Francisco if you're having to weave. And yeah. Lombard Street.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, in our areas where you got the long stretches, as long as there's cell phone coverage
mm-hmm.
or service, you probably are going to get a higher percent. I would suggest probably like I-80 through the Nevada desert.
Right.
You have a pretty large likelihood
mm-hmm.
the people are going to be calling or texting or doing something because the road literally doesn't change, and Absolutely. There is literally nobody on the road for 10, 15 minutes at a time.
And really, what's the deterrent of people not talking on their cell phones? Is it the knowledge that they might get in an accident? Not really, because everybody feels like, most people feel like, hey, I got control of my vehicle, I can handle this. The big deterrent, if we're honest, is that they don't want to get a ticket. And so you get places like the speed corridor where it's straight, you can see both in front of you and behind you for long distances, and people might feel like they've got a good, see if there's a cop behind them or in front of them, and hey, there's no cop, so I'll get on my cell phone.
Well, I would think, particularly with the safety corridor, because it's relatively short, mm-hmm. and when most people are driving it, there are lots of other cars around.
Correct.
That's going to kind of dummy it down,
yeah.
I would think. I mean, the 7 to 10% thing is still kind of a staggering figure.
Yeah.
Just because there are so many other vehicles that are around.
Right. You would hope that, if nothing else, that you would be embarrassed that you're talking on your cell phone and people are driving by and you're, yabbing away on the cell phone. But apparently that's not the case.
That would be people going past quicker than 55.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the truly impressive ones, though, are going either across the bridge or Old Arcata,
mm-hmm.
and talking on the phone.
Right.
I would think that it takes a higher degree of ability.
Right, and then you add to that drinking a cup of coffee while adjusting the radio and...
No. Rip the knob off. Just keep it right here to KINS. It's
there you go. You got it.
You want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Burns Furniture's July Hot Buys Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Burns Sleep Center, the new Serta Eye Comfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey from the Arcata station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being nice, aren't I? That's not right. I'll have to work on that. The Arcata office of the California Highway Patrol. Matt, this time of the year, this time of the month, there's a lot of activity going on. We've got Fortuna with Auto Expo going on. We've got Reggae. We've mm-hmm. got the County Fair. We've got the Del Norte County Fair. All of it kind of happening within about a 100-mile stretch.
Just coming off the heels of 4th of July and the Oyster Fest.
Just all kinds.
Yeah.
When those types of activities happen, do you guys see much activity? Does it change things that
absolutely,
much?
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. For example, I was working the night of the Oyster Fest and the 4th of July, and it's a lot busier for us.
Mutual aid? Or just up and down the highway?
Everything. More crashes. I mean, there's more cars on the roadway. There's more people driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Basically, anytime you have an event like that that draws more traffic, you're going to get more of the DUI drivers and things like that
we used to call them looped?
Sure, yeah.
That's all encompassing. You don't have to worry about BC then.
Right. That's a good way to describe it sometimes. But so, yeah, there's definitely more traffic on the road. We try to get more officers on the road. We have what's called maximum enforcement periods. Those are a statewide program that we have during, say, like Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, when we know there's going to be more traffic on the road, get more officers out there.
I didn't realize it was statewide. I thought that was either by district or by office.
We do some by office, but there are statewide maximum enforcement periods that on the big holidays, things like, like I said, Labor Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July.
So you guys, let's say the Redway office or Garberville station then could say maximum enforcement Reggae weekend.
Correct.
Yeah. Boom. And their office.
Right.
But only their office.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And with that, just like the other maximum enforcement periods, basically what that means is we're out there actively enforcing, trying to get people to slow down, making sure people are safe, basically.
Doing your job.
Doing our job. That's right.
Yeah. Everything except the last killer phrase, huh?
Right.
With Auto Expo or something like that that is inside a city, obviously the local law enforcement departments or public safety departments are going to be focusing on that event.
Right.
Do you guys then kind of spread tentacles into the town in the other areas because they will be focused? You know, Old Town during the 4th of July, for example. Okay, EPD is going to have their folks pretty much down in that area.
Correct.
Will you guys then patrol like the Henderson Center or South Eureka on a more regular basis than you would otherwise because the focus?
Absolutely. Yeah, we will definitely try to saturate areas more that where we know there will be heavier traffic for sure. Part of that is enforcing. Part of that is also being a presence. We find that when we're present, when people see us, they tend to slow down. And so that's a big part of what we're doing out there.
What does it take to have a dummy in a car?
Well, you go buy a dummy, and
I'm not talking about senior staff. I'm not talking about but every once in a while, you'll see what appears to be a regular squad car, cruiser. Willits has got one with some of the bypass work that's going on.
Yeah,
and you see a shape in there. And then when you drive by, okay, it's a mannequin instead of an officer, or at least this time it was. Is that something you'll do?
You sure the officer wasn't just asleep?
Well,
unless
somebody stole his face, too.
We do that.
If there's a cruiser that isn't being used, is that something you guys can do on or just kind of a somewhat regular basis just to kind of have that presence, have that visibility out there?
Yeah, it's of course it's something can be done. We may or may not do that. See if I gave it
no
away.
No secrets, then, I know. Yeah, yeah, it's
it
like the family
the
recipe.
But I think that the most important thing about that is just the idea that when we're out there, whether we're on the side of the road, driving around, the point is for us to enforce, but also just be a presence. Is really what it comes down to. I know there is a squad car there at the Peg House as you're coming north.
Yeah, the one with all the bumper stickers on it?
Yeah, and that one's been there for years.
And somebody screwed up because there was a real squad car there when we came through
a couple weeks ago.
Right. Yeah, it was well, that defeats the purpose.
you never know.
Yeah, well, he was actually consuming product, so
gotcha.
it was okay.
Okay.
But some of the bridges, some of the construction sites, I know with some of the major projects in the area, Mad River, I know, that bridge.
The bridge.
Every once in a while, somebody would be in there, and every once in a while, there'd be just the car there with the lights on.
Yeah.
And, somebody's doing some other work somewhere else. So it seemed like it would be a management tool.
Yeah. And that brings up a good point, too. I believe the Mad River Bridge project is pretty well finished up, but... there was a lot of construction going on. I just met with the Caltrans PIO a few days ago, and there's going to be a lot of construction that's already started that's going to continue to happen. We were talking about 299 at the break. There's some construction going on there. They're doing some repairs because typically in Humboldt County, when the rains go away for the summer, Caltrans is out fixing guardrails and things, improving the roadways. And so with that, oftentimes we'll be out there, we'll bring on extra units to assist them and make sure they're safe and enforce the area.
Well, and the lawn cutting or the fuzz trimming on there, the side of the roads also.
Right.
I mean, some of that stuff happens.
Right.
At least three times yesterday. KINS, News and Information Time. First-hand knowledge, folks. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Rhett Harvey.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Okay. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Now, you guys aren't playing fair, huh? You're going to start getting new rigs out on the road?
We are.
A little different design, different colors? That's right, yeah.
So what happened was the Crown Victorias have been discontinued from Ford, which has forced us to look to a new vehicle. Make a long story short, we ended up with the Ford Police Interceptor Utility Version, which is a Ford Explorer base. The specific vehicle we're going to be driving is a, you know, is obviously made for law enforcement. So that specific type of vehicle you can't go buy on the road. But the, you
or if you do, you're going to get pulled over.
That's right. That's right.
If you go by on the road.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
Nice little pun there.
Thanks.
But yeah, so
the cars are gone now.
We still have them, and probably what's going to happen is we're going to start to, at some point, hopefully this year, we're going to start to roll out the new vehicles, and it probably won't be like the new cars replace all the old cars. It'll probably be some kind of turnaround where we slowly replace the cars that.
Now, is this a Jimmy Matt, or is this more of the full-length Suburban?
It's basically the new Ford Explorer is basically what it is, with some modifications. So
yeah, I would think like bars.
Yeah, yeah, definitely bars will be involved.
Safety things, yeah, electronics, yeah. Things.
Yeah, we put.
Oh, okay, there's pictures over there.
We
just pulled it up already.
We soup it up a little bit. We, you know, obviously change out the tires. And
you know, that top one there kind of looks like a minivan. Wouldn't that be frightening, huh?
Yeah, it's
CHP and minivans. Oh, my.
Hey, it might be coming. It might be coming.
Boy, I bet you guys are lined up to ride that one,
that's
huh?
That's right. Could fit a few people on that one.
Yeah, the sheriff is changing his color combination
mm-hmm.
to match a little bit the black and white stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You guys have got some white rigs, you got some black rigs. Mm-hmm. Is there any consistency, or are you looking not to have consistency?
No, it's going to be pretty consistent. We're going to keep the color scheme is going to be very similar. Just basically the color scheme we have now applied to the new vehicles, what it's going to be. We'll have a few vehicles that are all white, but you won't see many of those. Those are for kind of special enforcement, commercial enforcement purposes, but generally it's gonna be black and white vehicles. So
I would figure at some point, if the CHP really wanted to start nailing people,
mm-hmm.
you'd have blues and reds and whites and greens, and the logo would be on the door, but by the time you saw it would be way too late.
Yeah.
And the bars wouldn't be, no light bar on the top, have to be in the back window.
Right.
And you just look like a regular normal. And then if you did ever bring out the stealth vehicle.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
The minivan, game over.
Yeah, game over. And I think we might get a few complaints out of that one, too.
From people who get caught?
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, they don't want to feel like they're getting snuck up on. They want to have fair warning and, you know.
Well, attention please, Mr. Criminal. Stop doing it, because here comes the law enforcement agency.
That's what they want.
I'm sure somebody would have entrapment. Well, maybe you just need a more powerful PA system.
There you go. That'll work to you.
You think?
That'll work to you.
Oh my! So you starting to feel back home yet?
I do. I'm really happy to be up in Arcata. It's a great office. Good office community there. As you and I were talking, the commander that was in Garberville, Adam Yeager, was the lieutenant commander in Garberville. He transferred up as of April, somewhere around there, as the commander up in Arcata, which is great for us. He served as an officer, sergeant, lieutenant, and now captain in our area. So we know he's got roots here, and he's got stakes here.
And connections with Eureka Management.
And, a few connections somewhere along the line.
And you do have to bring Sergeant Hal out next month.
I absolutely pass the
word
on.
If nothing else, is a goodbye opportunity.
We'll get him in.
All righty. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Matt Harvey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.